This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. In the middle of the coronavirus pandemic, voting and elections, they may not be on top of mind for some people, but they should be if you do want to vote come May 19th. And the best bet to ensure that you can vote in the upcoming primary election in Idaho is to do it by absentee ballot. Joining us live on Skype today is Ada County Clerk Phil McGrane. Welcome to the program, Phil.
Thanks, Gemma. It's good to talk to you.
Hey, so first, will there be an election on May 19th, or will that date potentially be pushed back? We've seen some other states do that already.
Well, right now there's a lot of questions standing out there. I've been spending quite a bit of my time, in addition to supporting Judge Moody, like you were talking about in the last segment, working with the Idaho Secretary of State, trying to determine what do we do with the May 19th election, and what's best for the health and safety of all the voters, poll workers, and everybody else involved. And so certainly one of the possibilities is a delay. We've seen, I think now, at least 12 states that have delayed their primaries. So we're watching that closely. And then looking, like you mentioned, at the absentee process as an alternative means to allow people to vote.
So people can now request an absentee ballot online, correct? Because that used to not be the case until now. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. I think one of the big shifts that we've seen is the ability to request an absentee ballot online. The Secretary of State's office just launched that yesterday. And that is really a response to what we're seeing with COVID-19 and everything else that's impacting things. They're really encouraging people to make those requests to vote early. It's one of the cleanest ways. We've seen it work in other states. So with the March primaries, Washington State, they vote all by mail. We got to kind of see how that worked with their presidential primary. And so we're trying to push that right now while other decisions are being made in terms of the long-term impact to what happens with the May 19th election.
So how do people then request the actual ballot?
The best thing to do right now is visit idahovotes.gov. It's the central resource for all voters throughout the state of Idaho. On there, you can confirm your registration, which is one of the things. It's important to make sure your registration is current if you're going to have a ballot mailed to you. You can register to vote online or change your registration there. And then, as I mentioned, you can also submit an online absentee request, or there's a printable form if you'd prefer, and you can print off the absentee request form and send it in to your local county clerk.
So why do people actually have to request a ballot? I mean, why can't the state or counties just mail a ballot to every registered voter?
Well, I think there's two pieces to this. Just as a policy matter, you know, independent of the situation we find ourselves in, Idaho has a really strong presence of voting on Election Day in traditional polling places. And actually here in Ada County, we've seen much more activity in terms of early voting, where people show up in person and vote early. Our absentee participation in voting by mail has actually declined over the years. So just our own habits don't reflect that. But then when we get into the specifics here, why don't we make a policy change and just mail everyone a ballot? This is a primary election, which is a nomination process for the party nominees to determine who's going to be on the ballot in November. And because of our processes in terms of how we set it up, different people have different choices in which ballot they'll get. Right now, I don't know what ballot to send to each voter. Each voter gets to choose whether they want the Democratic ballot, the Republican ballot, or the nonpartisan ballot. And depending on what their party affiliation is, determines what choices they have in terms of which ballot they can get. And so the absentee request process helps facilitate that decision. You know, what ballot do you want? Where do you want it mailed to? And then we'll start getting those ballots out as people request them.
So that makes sense because you'd have to send three ballots to each individual and then they choose which one they would send back. So that just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but wanted to clarify that point as to why you don't just send ballots out.
Yeah, exactly. It's just part of the process that making sure, you know, and also this is a chance for people to determine participation in primary elections. We're really interested to see, as we're encouraging voters and getting the word out about the absentee process, if we don't have more people engaged, since many people, as you've identified, are staying home right now, or if just the opposite happens because of this election, because I know the election is not the top thing on many people's minds. And mm-hmm. So as we get closer to May, I think we'll learn a lot. Right now, for me and my peers that are clerks around the state, we're just kind of waiting some decisions in terms of what is the way the state is going to run this election. Are we going to do it by absentee? Are we going to delay it? There's a lot of conversations happening this week. There are very active conversations to make some determinations on how we conduct the election moving forward.
We're talking with Ada County Clerk Phil McGrane about the upcoming election on May 19th. So Phil, let's say that come May 19th, you know, things are, you know, back to normal or to the point where people have the opportunity to go out and vote, but they've already requested an absentee ballot just in case. Are they then required to use that absentee ballot, or can or could you go to the polls? Or do we even know?
Great question. Based on all the information we're hearing in terms of, you know, the epidemiologists and others, I'll be surprised if we're back to normal come May. It seems like that might be a time when, you know, we're in the thick of things. But regardless, you know, whatever happens on any election, if someone gets an absentee ballot, they can vote that way, or they can come and get a ballot issued to them at the polls. We make sure our systems are in place to ensure everyone only votes once. Nobody can vote twice. We know who has a ballot, who's returned a ballot. We keep track of that actively throughout the entire election. So that's one of the key things. I think what we're looking at is if the election stays on course for May under kind of the statutes that we have in place without any other direction from the state, one of the things you'll probably see throughout the state is consolidating polling locations where we just have less polls available. So you wouldn't necessarily go to your normal polling location. And that's largely being driven by, as just like the stay-at-home order that was issued yesterday, many polling places aren't that keen on having us vote in there. Voting is one of these things where we're aggregating a lot of people generally in a small space. And given all the advice we're getting right now, it doesn't seem the healthiest option to have voters congregating either in lines or sharing spaces together throughout the day with a bunch of different strangers in the community.
Well, and also the fact that, I mean, I know, like, I vote in a senior living community. I would think that, you know, those are people who are high risk. So have you heard from some polling locations about whether they will even allow you to be able to have a polling location there?
Absolutely. Actually, even before any of the orders or things came down, one of the first actions I took was having my staff move out of all senior living centers, assisted living centers, any of those facilities that are sensitive facilities for the people involved. So that we just independently did on our own. And then, yeah, now that we've started reaching out to polling locations, trying to see if we can get things set in place for May, we are getting polling locations saying, no, you can't use our facility. Based on all the advice that they're getting, they don't think it's wise to have voters congregating in their space. And so, yeah, we're already seeing that. And similarly, the median age for our poll workers in Ada County right now is actually 69. So we depend on a lot of retirees and others to help support the availability of voting. And certainly, I don't want to put any poll workers at risk any more than I want to put any voters at risk. And so we're having to look on so many different fronts as to what we can do. And we've even looked into kind of small details, it may seem, but we just ordered 50,000 peel and stick envelopes for the return envelopes for the absentees so that for our employees, we don't have voters licking their envelopes and sending them back to us, right? We can try to keep mm-hmm. that process as safe as possible in the midst of everything as well.
Do you think, Phil, that this could potentially change how elections are run in the state of Idaho? Because we know that there are certain states, I mean, take Oregon, for example, they vote by mail. I mean, that is just what they do. Could this potentially change how we vote in Idaho after going through this process?
Yeah, that's a good question, Gemma. I don't believe so. I think we'll see some improvements in the processes. A great example is the online absentee request form. That's going to stream things for folks. But in terms of voting behavior, it's been discussed quite a bit looking at what Washington and Oregon do in terms of mail. And not just the legislature, but largely the community in Idaho at large has said that's not the way they want to conduct the elections. I've been engaged in these conversations for at least, I want to say, 16 years, and that comes up, but it never gets much traction. And actually what we're seeing and looking at other states is like Colorado. I think if you see Ada County specifically consolidate polling locations to where, you know, we have one or two locations in a legislative district, is the concept of what we call vote centers, where rather than having to go to your individualized polling place where it's based on your neighborhood, more like our early voting operation, anyone could go anywhere there's a vote here sign in the community and vote. We now are rolling out the technology like electronic poll books and other things where it doesn't necessarily matter that it's tied to your home. That used to be really determined by how we get the ballots out. But I think the COVID-19 situation is pushing us to move some of our ideas and plans more forward in terms of making voting available in other ways where it's not so restricted and where we don't have it tied specific to like a neighborhood.
So some people might be confused as to why we're actually having a primary election May 19th, especially because we already had an election on May 10th. Clarify the difference between those two elections.
That's a great point because it is. I think it confuses a lot, and we see big differences in participation between the two as a result. So on March 10th, we just had a primary election, and that was for the president. The only candidate that was on the ballot was for the president. So both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, as well as the Constitution Party, each had nominees up for president. Idaho moved forward the presidential portion of the primary. Back in 2012 was when we started with caucuses, but we moved it forward so that Idaho could have a greater voice in the primary process for the presidential nominations. However, because that's right in the middle of our legislative session, we still have maintained our May primary for all other offices. So United States Senate, congressmen, legislators, county officials, all of those will be coming up here in May. And that's the traditional date that we've had our primary. And so those are the things that are coming up is the respective parties locally making decisions for the candidates that'll be there on the November ballot.
So these are local, like local state primary elections, and even some school bonds potentially are depending upon where you live.
Yeah, depending on where you live, there's definitely, I know locally West Ada has a school bond that'll be being considered. So it is, it's kind of it's mostly your partisan officials in the primary process. So county, state, and our federal officials, aside from the president, who are going to be running for the primary this time around.
So best advice for folks right now who do want to make sure they can vote come May 19th.
Yeah, for any of the listeners right now, the easiest thing is go in and go to idahovotes.gov and submit your absentee request form. Make sure your registration is up to date. If you need to register, you can do that there as well. If you just go to idahovotes.gov and do those processes, that will put you in the queue. So no matter what decisions are made regarding the election, you know that a ballot is going to be mailed to you as soon as ballots are going out. We're actively working to gear up and get everything ready. And right now we anticipate first ballots going out at the beginning of April. But even if that changes, having that submitted will make you set up so that you know your vote will get counted for this upcoming election.
I want to thank you for joining us today, Phil. I know how busy you've been over there, so appreciate your time.
Thanks, Gemma. It's always great to chat with you.
Well, we've been talking with Ada County Clerk Phil McGrane about the upcoming elections. Up next, a look at medical capacity issues in the Wood River Valley. This is Idaho Matters.